please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. We'll read verses 5 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 5 through 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 through 10. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with a wife with whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I'll read yet one other passage. You need not turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 reads, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the influence of our church, not just here in the local area, but yet really all over this country. Lord, may we realize how important it is, each and every little thing that we do here in this place, that it's for you, a great and wonderful God. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. May you change our hearts and our lives to help a whole lot of people, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to talk to you about this. The title of my sermon is Let's Be First Class. The Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." God is telling us that we ought to apply ourselves to whatever we do. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40, the Bible says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I looked that word decently up, did a little research on that word, and it means let it be done decorously, or in a it's talking about being done in a way of honor. We're supposed to do what we do in a way of honor, decently and in order and with our might. I can remember, you teachers, I think sometimes you do not realize what an impact you make on young people. I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. I wish I would have, but I did not. I went to a public school. I had a teacher. I must have been about 15 years old, and I was in a biology class. A teacher by the name of Mrs. Huber. Man, she was one tough cookie. We called her Sarge. Well, never to her face. That's when we were praying. When we were praying for her, we called her Sarge. But yeah, she was a tough teacher, and I remember that she required us in biology class to dissect a frog, and then we were required to draw a complete picture of the internal works of that frog, and it all had to be colored and color coded, and it was quite an on-taking. I remember her looking at my work and saying, "Jeff, that's not right. It could be better. You didn't do your best," and I had to do it over again. And then she looked at it again, and she said, "Well, look at that. You didn't color all the way out in this area, and the colors are not quite right here. And do it again." And I did it again, and I took it back. And she said, "Jeff, you need to apply yourself to this thing." And now, at the moment, I was a little frustrated, but when I was done, I was so pleased with what she had required of me. I decided, you know something? I think I want to learn to do everything right. I would just like to learn to do everything right, and not halfway, and not unfinished things around me. I didn't want that. I decided I'd like to learn to be first class. To be first class. To be first class, what does it mean? It means to do something to the best of our ability and constantly improving our ability to its best. It's quality. Something done sharp, clean, in a splendid way, in a glorious way, a superb way. Something done in a grand fashion. Done right, no shortcuts. I've always believed you're either first class or you don't have any class.
Right.
Let me tell you, this what I'm going to say this evening could apply to so many different areas of life. Do not limit it just to the areas that I teach. We need to be first class at home. We need to be first class in our schools, in our ministries, in our churches. Our leaders need to learn to be first class people. Hey, let me ask you about your bus route, bus captain. Is it first class? You say, even want the bus routes first class? Why, yes, we want the bus routes first class. There are no second class citizens. They're first class bus kids. They ought to be on a first class bus route. And the bus captains ought to be top rate. And workers ought to be top rate. And the program ought to be top rate. Nothing ought to be done slipshod and in a lazy fashion. Your Sunday school class ought to be first class. The music department, we want first class. Apply it to whichever area of life you would like. Let me remind you of something. We have a first class God. Our God is first class. He did it right for us. Psalm 145, verse number 5, it says this: I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. You hear all those, what I'd call superlatives there? Glorious, majesty, wondrous. When God created things for us, boy, was He first class. He didn't create things in a second-rate way. No slipshod creation by God. His works were glorious. His works were majestic. His works were wondrous. And He was setting an example. He wanted His people to do the same. I remember the cotton fields of Mississippi. Oh, how glorious. The Rocky Mountain peaks. Oh, how marvelous. The Rio Grande, it's grand. It's done in a grand way. You go to the lovely lakes of Minnesota. Oh, hey, they're first class. California's redwood trees, that's first class. Florida's sunshine and the Florida citrus crop. You ever seen all that down there? You talk about first class. New England's rolling farms, that's first class. The yellow roses of Texas. You ever take a good look at a beautiful yellow rose? God created something first class. You take the dynamic deserts of Arizona and the heavenly atmosphere of almost heaven, West Virginia, and you know that God is a first class God. In creation, He was first class. If we took the time to study, and someday we will, the Old Testament temple and the Old Testament tabernacle. 1 Chronicles 22:5, it says, "And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent." That's what God said. He wanted to be magnificent and exceeding magnificent. He gave directions about that tabernacle. He talked about how the curtains should be sewn and what kind of thread. The woodwork was excellent. Even the furniture, it was made by the best and out of the best of the wood. The attire of the attendants, first class. The upholstery and the fabric was marvelous. The fixtures, the courtyard, all the way down to the smell. He said, "I don't want it second rate. I want it first class." God's creation was first class. When God gave instruction to man about the tabernacle or the church building, He said, "I want it first class." Hey, God made heaven and He made it first class. Revelation 21, verse 18 and 19 says, "And the building of the walls of it was of jasper, and the city of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." There's jasper and sapphire and emerald. There'll be no sin there, no pain, no death. It's a first-class place that He has prepared for us. Fantastic mansions, well-groomed gardens. There won't be a dirty river of life. It'll be groomed and kept up, and it is a first-class place. Hey, God gave us a first-class book. The Word of God. Psalm 19 tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, it's enlightening, it's enduring. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. He said, I gave you a book that is of a higher quality than gold itself.
Amen.
See, God provides first class for us. He deserves then first class from us.
Amen.
United Airlines has a first class. These ocean cruises, they have first class. You take a ride on a locomotive somewhere, they have first class compartments. Now, first class does not mean that you're wealthy. It does mean that what you do right. It does mean that you are clean and that you are doing the very best that you can with what God has provided you. Now, we might ask ourselves, in what ways could we be first class? Doing what we do with our might. Doing what we do decently and in order. Well, we need to have first class attitudes. I think we ought to have first class attitudes. Talking about our behavior in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, then this, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. You know what? Daniel was preferred because he had an excellent spirit or an excellent attitude. Daniel had a first class spirit. Daniel had a first class attitude. For a church to be a first class church, its leaders and members need to have first class attitudes. See, I know of churches that have first class facilities but third class attitudes. Hey, I know of churches that have first class facilities but they have third class holiness. Oh, boy, they got some fantastic possessions, but they got crummy attitudes. They're not holy. They're all sucked up in the world and using the world's music and the world's way of doing things. So they say, we've got first-class facilities, but they've got third-class attitudes and third-class holiness. Let's be first-class. Let's have first-class attitudes. Well, what are some first-class attitudes? Friendly attitude is a first-class attitude. Don't be arrogant. Don't stick your nose in the sky. Don't be a snooty person or a snotty person, whichever way you want to look at it. Speak to people. Greet them. And all of them. There's nobody here that is below you. You walk down this hallway, speak to people and say, howdy, how you doing? Good to see you. You say, well, I'm not a greeter. Well, you are now, officially. Everybody here, you're a greeter. All right, now you got a job, greet everybody. Why? It's first class to be friendly. It's first class to be friendly. Hey, it's first class to be friendly to those that are not friendly to you. That's first class. That's first class. Hey, a friendly attitude is a first class attitude. A forgiving attitude is a first class attitude. First class Christians are forgivers. I'll tell you what'll destroy a church. You just find somebody, one offends another, and whoever's offended, they won't accept an apology. Somebody won't render an apology. Listen, folks, it's first class to be a forgiver. Hey, God is a first class God, and God is a forgiver. It's not first-class Christianity to hold grudges in the church and to be bitter in the church. This creates low-class churches. Those of you that work together in the bus ministry, if something happens and there's a little tension, learn how to forgive, keep the unity, and keep that a first-class ministry. Those of you that work together in the youth ministry, learn to forgive and keep it a first-class ministry. Those of you that work in the music department and work up here in the choir, don't ruin the spirit of the choir. Don't be an unforgiving kind of a person. Let it be a first-class choir. And there's more to having a first-class choir than being able to sing pretty. You're supposed to get along. You're supposed to be decent to one another. See, first class attitude is a forgiving attitude. Hey, a humble attitude is a first class attitude. I look back here and I see Carol Jean Montgomery, her and her husband. You talk about a couple humble people. Ray Montgomery was just a humble man. And that was first class. That's first class. I was thinking of Brother Damian Segura over here. You talk about a humble man. What a humble man. I was thinking of Mrs. Klaus. Mrs. Klaus, are you in the choir? I was thinking about Mrs. Klaus back here. You talk about a humble lady. She's involved in everything. She's everywhere, but never tooting her own horn. She's just in her place. Very humble. Very humble. You want first class? First class attitude is a humble attitude. A serving attitude is a first class attitude. I was thinking of Brother Tim Brown. I don't know where Brother Brown is this evening, but I'll tell you something. Brother Tim Brown is a servant. That's first class to me. No job too small. No job too menial. Just he wants to serve. To serve, the Bible says, is greater than being served. The servant is the greatest among us. Hey, you want to know if you have a first class attitude? We're not talking about you're an elitist. Your glasses are on the end of a stick. And you look down your snout at people. No, that's not, that does not make you first class. First class as a Christian is you're friendly and forgiving and humble. You have a servant's attitude and you have a positive attitude. That's first class. Hey, it is first class to focus on the good things of God. It is first class to focus on the good things about other people. Hey, a giving attitude is a first class attitude. Takers are rarely first class people. They usually leave devastation behind. Oh, but people that are generous and givers, that is first class. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. What's it saying? It is more first class to give than to receive. Have a first class attitude. And listen, let's all have first class attitudes toward people that have not developed first class attitudes. I'm going to say some things this evening, and if not careful, some of you are going to develop a critical spirit about things not being first class. You're going to look at somebody and say, that's what he's talking about. You're not first class. We don't need some husband to go home tonight and rail on his wife about how she's not first class. Well, you need to get a first class attitude about people that need to develop being first class. There are some people that don't know. There are some people that have not been trained. And let's have the right attitude toward those that are developing the ability to be first class. And so I say to you, we need to have first class attitudes. Why? Everything ought to be done decently. That's honorably and in order. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. All that God did, he did it right. All that God did, he did it with his might. All that God did was done decently. All that God did for us, he did it honorably and in order. And I think he is our example. Secondly, I think we ought to be first class in regard to our cleanliness and the upkeep of the things of God. You take the things that God allows us to have around here. I'll call them our possessions or our equipment in the church. I think they ought to be first class. I want first class buses. I want first class locker rooms. You know, we had a meeting about the East Coast Ladies Conference, and I was talking to Brother Bajan. Brother Bajan and I were working on one little project. You say, what was it? Trash cans. Trash cans. I said, Brother Bajan, I want them clean inside and I want them clean outside. We may not be able to go out and buy a bunch of big, expensive trash cans, but the ones we do have can be clean. You know something? You walk over to a trash can and it's grimy and gritty and nasty on the outside. You almost don't want to put trash in there. Trash deserves better treatment. But I'm concerned, and listen to this, everybody's got a responsibility around here. I'm concerned. You ever been around a trash can that stinks because it's never been cleaned out and it's nasty and there's juicy stuff in the bottom of it? I'm not for that. And if Brother Owens is concerned about the inside of the trash cans, you can imagine how concerned I am about everything else. I think it ought to be done first class. I really, really believe that. I believe we ought to treat all the church property in a first class way. If God's given it to us, let's do our best. No, we may not have a bunch of money. No, we may not be able to afford the most elaborate or expensive. But we've got a little elbow grease. We got a little common sense. Let's treat the possessions that God's given us around here with dignity. I think we want to have first class grounds, and thank God what's happening and how we're developing the grounds and all the beautiful flowers. I was thinking, I mentioned Damien earlier. Damien, thank God for him. You know what one of Damien's responsibilities? He drives by our church property every day, and for those filthy people that would come by and throw trash out their windows and beer cans on our church property, Damien every day checks to make sure that the front of our property does not look trashy. Every day he and you'll see him and Devin, and he'll park the car out here, and they'll run and gather all the trash from people that have no respect for God's property. I like that. I like that. That's first class. We have an area over here. It's our dumpster area. You know where it's at. That's where we put all the trash. I want to explain something to everybody here. The trash goes in the dumpster. Not beside it. Not near it. Not behind it. Not in the vicinity of it. It goes in it. Why? Because I want my trash area to be clean.
Amen.
Either you're uninterested or you're thinking, great. Now we have to be clean to go along with everything else. I want our restrooms clean. Everybody pitch in. If we, hey, look, if you want to write me a great big old check tonight, you write it. I will refurbish every restroom, and we will remodel, and we will go to a new level. But until the Lord provides that, let's take care of what we have. Let's take care of what we have. I like the nurseries to be first class. I want them to be first class. Thank God, Mrs. Martin, she comes in and cleans and sterilizes our toys. That's called first class. Those smocks need laundered and cared for, and we don't need stains all over them. They need to be first class. I want a first class program and a first class smile on the face of that nursery worker and first class treatment of those little boys and girls. I believe if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And God deserves our best. A little later on, you'll find out that's work. It takes work. I think every office across these buildings ought to be first class. They shouldn't be pigsties. They should be organized and clean and professional looking. I think every Sunday school classroom and every room in Martinsburg Christian Academy, I think they need to be kept clean. Those of you that use them in King's Kids, hey, clean up after yourselves. Those of you that use them in Sunday school, clean up after yourselves. Hey, teachers, take good care of that room. Take good care of it. Let's keep what we have here tidy and clean and organized. First class. Hey, I believe the things that are not seen by the public ought to be kept clean too.
Yes, sir.
I really believe that. I think we need to keep those things that are behind the scenes organized and clean and first class because I believe God deserves our best. I've been around the ministry and around churches and around preachers for a long, long time. You would not believe the second-rate treatment that the things of God get. I am not for that. I want things done right and for God. And listen, folks, it benefits every one of us. I mean, if we take good care of what God gives, it benefits you. It benefits me. It benefits the lost. Hey, remember now, this doesn't just apply to the church. I'm talking to you about your home. I'm talking to you about your business. I'm talking to you about your own personal attitudes. Let's be first class about what we do. The cleanest people on the face of this earth ought to be God's people. The people that do things the best ought to be God's people. We shouldn't have to look to the world to get an example of cleaning up and straightening up and being first class and doing things right. The world should not be teaching the church. The church should be setting the pace. I think we need first-class attitudes. I think we need first-class cleanliness and upkeep of what God gives us. I think we need first-class treatment of others. For instance, visitors. I think visitors ought to be greeted in a first-class way. We have our ministry here called the Shenandoah Hospitality. I think it's a first-class ministry. Keep it going, ladies. Let's be first-class for our visitors. Hey, let's never let it be so that some visitor, you fuss with them over your seat here in the auditorium. That would not be first-class. First-class is if a visitor needs a seat, if you have to give up your own, you'd give it to them. You'd give it to them. Hey, look, if there's a visitor in the parking lot and there's only one parking spot left, there shouldn't be a race. You should let them have it and then beat them up afterwards. But at least give them a place to park their car. Let's be first class in introducing our visitors. Let's be first class in going to them and inviting them to come back. Let's help them to find their Sunday school class and help them to find the nursery and help them to find a seat and help them to find the restroom facilities and help them to get their visitor's card. That's first class. That's not a bunch of the snooty people that have their church and a visitor. When they walk in, you stare at them. What are they doing here? Yeah, there are churches like that. Visitors feel it's cold and they're unwelcome and they're not one of their... Hey, it's not like that around here and let's never let it be like that. Let's be first class with our visitors. Hey, be first class when we have guest speakers and guest musicians, teenagers. I had someone say this to me this week, said, I love the teenagers here. They go up and talk to the adults and they greet the adults. They don't run hide in the back of the auditorium and they're not always sneaking around. They're a part of the church. And they're decent. They have nothing to hide. They walk right up to adults and greet them and talk to them. And they sit down front where the blessing comes out. And an adult couple in the church said, "We love that. Boy, that's first class." We have guest speakers. Talk to the guest speakers. Don't be afraid to shake their hand. Greet them. Hey, introduce yourself to them. You staff men and staff wives, you get to them and you make them feel welcome. Hey, slip a buck. Slip $5 into somebody's hand. Some guest speaker, some guest musician. Say, "Let me buy you a cup of coffee." Be good to them. That's first class. That's first class. Hey, let's be first class in regard to our treatment of others, our visitors, our guest speakers, our guest musicians. Hey, every leader here, you give the followers in this church first class treatment. You say, "Wait a minute. That sounds backwards." That's not backwards. If you've been given a leadership position, it is a position that you have merited to serve the people.
Yeah.
That's your job. We're here to serve.
Amen.
The funeral the other day, someone said, "Brother Owens, we're so impressed. All your staff men are here cleaning tables and filling our coffee cups." Well, please, folks, don't be shocked. That's what leadership is. Leadership is serving people, not being served. We've got it all mixed up. Everybody wants someone to bow down to them. No, we're all to serve one another. That's first class. That's what first class is. Leaders, don't be disrespectful to the follower. Don't belittle them. Be willing to train them and care for them. And don't misuse them. I have a whole sermon that I preach, and you've heard me preach it with that philosophy. I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. I believe that's a first class philosophy, and I think we all ought to follow it. Hey, let's be first class with the community. Let's all have good reputations around the community. Let them see the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Though they may not like our doctrine, though they may not like our stand on separation from the world, and we can't change those things. The Bible teaches it. Hey, let's not make it so they dislike us because of our attitudes. They should not dislike us because we've got second-rate bill paying. Pay your bills. Pay your bills. Be good to your neighbor. Treat people right. Be friendly. Be kind. Lend a helping hand. Let's let the community see a church that has first-class attitude and first-class treatment of the community. Be law-abiding. And let's be first-class in the community. See, we ought to have first-class treatment of other people. Our visitors, our guest speakers and guest musicians. The leaders should treat the followers in a first-class way. The community should see first-class treatment. Let's treat each other in a first-class way. Treat one another with dignity. Every adult in here, let's treat one another with dignity. Let's treat, I believe the teenagers ought to be treated with dignity. I believe our children, if you work with the children here, I think they ought to be treated with dignity. I don't think anybody needs to be derided or belittled. With dignity. Our new members, let's make sure we treat them well. Don't ignore them. Some of them are brand new in this church. And this church is big to them. And all of this is new. Hey, let's give them some first-class treatment. Let's treat those that have been here for many years in a first-class way. Let's have a good attitude toward one another. And I say this, I want us to treat the bus kids right. Hey, let's make sure that our senior citizens are treated with dignity and respect, and that we give some consideration that they have paid dues for years and years and their legs don't move as fast as they used to. And let's be careful. Hey, don't you park in a senior citizen parking spot out here unless you're a senior citizen. Hey, don't you park in a visitor spot unless you're a visitor. Say, why? That's not first class. Don't you park in a handicapped spot if you're not handicapped. And if we find out you're parking in a handicapped spot and you're not handicapped, we'll fix it so you deserve to park there. That's not first class. Hey, make sure. And though I'm not changing my mind about the need of leadership to serve fellowship, make sure that you give the leadership the same dignity that the leadership ought to give you. Let's let people see our loyalties. Young people, respect your mom and dad. Treat them in a first-class way. Hey, there ought to be first-class treatment of teachers. I'll tell you something. You know, you go to some school out here that has the wrong kinds of rules or no rules, and teachers are afraid of students, and teachers are bad-mouthed by students. We're not going to do that around here. No. Teachers are to be respected and obeyed and be treated in a first-class way. You're to bring the teacher an apple without a worm. Without a worm. First-class treatment. Hey, let's make sure that bus captain, not because of who they are, but because of whose they are, it's a position of authority, and we are to respect that and treat it in a first-class way. Hey, listen, we ought to treat others in a first-class way. Our visitors, our guest speakers, the followers, the community, one another, the leaders. Hey, we need to learn to treat our enemies in a first-class way. You say, well, they don't deserve it. And you don't deserve heaven.
Right.
And we don't deserve the treatment that God has given us. There have been times when we have been His enemy. But He still loved us and was gracious to us. And the Bible very clearly teaches, hey, big time Christianity is not how you love and treat the people that are easy to love. Your real Christianity is judged based on the hardship of life. That's when it really requires something. Are you first class with your enemies?
Good.
Are you first class in not seeking revenge? That's first class. Are you first class in being good to those that are evil to you? Are you first class and pray for your enemies?
Good.
Every enemy that I know I have, I pray for them every day. Every day. You say, what do you pray? I pray that God would bless them and their life would be decent. I pray that their dislike of me does not ruin their day. The other day, I seen someone that just flat out does not like me. They're not from around here. I don't know why they don't like me, but they don't like me. And they told people and they let it be known. I walked right over them. I shook their hand. I said, God bless you. I've been praying for you, and I hope you have a great day. Good to see you. They gave me a word or two and turned their back. I walked away with no remorse. I was not mad. I wasn't trying to ruin their day. I was trying to be good to my enemies. Love them. You know you're to love your enemy? That's first class.
Right.
Not according to you, but according to the Bible. That's first class. Hey, let's have first class treatment of the lost.
Yeah.
When we go out soul winning, let's do it in a first-class way. You don't need to go out. Now listen, I think we ought to mention hell. I don't think there's anything wrong with mentioning hell when we're soul winning. But I want to tell you something. You don't need to cuss them into hell. There's some people that are just so rude. Listen, when you say to someone, I'm fine, don't get saved, split hell wide open, I hope you burn forever, buddy. Well, you've just done God a great favor. You made it so I could go visit them next week. And I usually do follow up you lunkheads in your soul winning. You're not to treat people that way. Leave the door open. Hey, listen, when you're out soul winning, do it in a first class way. Be generous. Be kind. Be considerate. Don't walk on their flowers. Don't kick their cat. Don't slap their dog. Be good to them. Do it in a first class way. And let me tell you this. It's not going to do you a whole lot of good if you're out soul winning and you want to just spend all your time attacking them about this, that, and the other. Hey, tell them about Jesus. I'll tell you, we are going to preach and believe around here what the Bible teaches. We will preach against false churches and false doctrines. But I'll tell you something. I believe some of us hurt ourselves because we just viciously want to attack constantly all of the false doctrines and false religion instead of presenting Jesus Christ to them. You know, let's say someone goes to a Catholic church. I don't think they should. I don't think the Catholic church teaches salvation. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think that the Catholic people most Catholics are not saved because they don't believe right about salvation. But look, if you're witnessing to a Catholic, what in the world good does it do for you to tell them for 55 minutes everything that you hate about the Pope? Can't you just tell them about Jesus and tell them the truth? Now, hey, brother, I'm going to preach against it, and nobody will tell me I can't. But let's be careful that we have a first-class attitude. I'll tell you this. There are a bunch of people that are caught in some false churches and false religions out there, but they're sincere. Now, they're not saved, but they really think they're in the right place. They believed everything their preacher said, but it's not been scriptural from the Bible. And if you're not careful, you're going to beat them up and you're going to drive them away. Hey, look, somebody that goes to the wrong church and believes the wrong thing, but they're sincere. They've got to get saved. That sincerity won't save them. They've got to get saved. But I'll tell you, if they're sincere, they're in the wrong place, they believe the wrong thing, we ought to be first class at how we treat somebody like that. If you'll treat them right and present the gospel right, they can get saved and get out of that mess. Don't drive them away. First class attitude. First class treatment of others. I say this also. Listen, it takes some money to do things right. And please be faithful in your giving. When you steal the tithe, you limit the church's ability to be first class. You know, I want to have a first class missions program, but you're going to have to be faithful to your missions giving. I have some first class dreams for our church. I have some first class dreams about our home economics class for our girls and our mechanics class for our boys. And we have some great dreams for the grounds and the cemetery and the mausoleum and our nurseries, our music program and our youth program and our men's ministry and our bus ministry. We have some great dreams for Martinsburg Christian Academy. And, you know, our church does not advertise. We don't even advertise. I have great dreams for advertising. I don't know what we're going to do with people if we start advertising and getting them. I don't know where we'll put them all. But I have some great dreams about advertising. But it takes money. But I'm not going to borrow ourselves into second-class financial debt trying to get first-class things. We're going to have to give. Let's be first-class. Hey, I want us to be first-class about the wisdom of the church in its spending of money. That's important too. Listen, if you're not giving to the church like God commanded you to, you have no right to criticize anything around here that you don't think is first class. Don't you sit out there in judgment of us when you're not doing what you ought to do and you say, well, they ought to clean this up, or they ought to clean that up, or they ought to fix this up. What right do you have to criticize us when you're not doing your part? Because maybe it might be if you do right financially by God, we would have the ability to fix a few things up. Oh, it takes a little money. He said, well, Brother Owens, being first class, I'm going to very quickly say to you, I'm going to give you a few helps in being first class. Listen to this. Finish what you start. Don't leave projects undone. Finish them in a timely fashion. Non-finishing people are frustrated people. They're frustrated. They got all these loose ends. They're frustrated. So they get angry easily. Finish what you start if you want to be first class. Number two, be on time. It's first class to be prompt. It's second rate to be late. Be on time for church. Be on time for Sunday school. Be on time on the buses. Be on time for projects. Be on time for your appointments. That is first class. You get out with a businessman that's got his head screwed on straight. He's going to watch to see if you're on time. Every employer wants an employee that's first class enough to finish what he starts. Number three, clean up after yourself. Teach your children to clean up after themselves. Some of you parents need to stop doing everything for your kids and teach them how to do it themselves. Sunday school teachers, clean up after yourselves. If you use a bus, clean up after yourself. That's first class. Number four, get advice about what you do. Study it. Learn it. Hey, find a first class person and say, how can I make this project first class? Get some first class instructions. Desire to learn how to be first class. Number five, plan ahead. Some of you need to learn to organize a little bit. Last minute projects are usually sloppy and they're second rate. Learn to be thorough. Learn to think through what you do. Number next, don't be a quitter about becoming first class. Try and then try again. Do it over if you must. Don't say, well, oh, I could never do that. That's a quitter attitude. God said, whatever you do, do it with your might. Let everything that we do be done decently and in order. You say, Brother Owens, I was not reared this way. The church loves you. The preacher loves you. And I'm trying to teach you this evening. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm not trying to run you in the ground. I'm telling you, God wants us to be first class, first rate Christians. And that's what we ought to strive to do. So don't throw in the towel already and say, oh, this isn't for me. Yes, it is for you. Say, but my mom wasn't that way. You can develop it. Well, my dad wasn't that way. You can develop it. Oh, it's so hard. Well, look, God told us to do it, and we ought to. Number next, do everything you do as if you're doing it for Jesus Christ. Whether it's mowing the yard, painting, teaching, cleaning, typing, He deserves your best. He deserves your best. Don't do it for yourself. Don't do it for a human being. Do it for God. Hey, whatever floor you're going to clean up, you clean it as if Jesus Christ Himself were going to walk through. You handle business as if you were having business with Jesus. If you'll do that, you'll become first class. Number next, don't be satisfied easily. Hey, don't just finish the job. Finish it with class. Do it right. Make yourself do it right. Slow down. Produce quality. America had better slow down on how we produce the products across America. We better do it right. Whatever happened to the desire for quality, not just quantity? Next, hey, pray and ask God to help you. Ask for God's help. Hey, my dad taught me, he said, son, you pray like it all depends on God and you work like it all depends on you. You know something? If you work as hard as you can and pray as hard as you can and you decide you want to achieve first class in your life, I think God will help you. Oh, here's the hard one, and we're almost done. Be willing to work hard. The main reason people are not first class is because they're lazy. They just don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want it to be first class. They're not willing to pay the price. First class people are hardworking people. They're just hardworking people. We ought to want things done right. And in the church, I do not believe that the church ought to be ran in a second-rate way. Not any part of it. You say, you know, old Brother Owens, I gravitated toward this ministry because I knew there wouldn't be much expected. Well, you're wrong. God expects our best and deserves our best. Everything God has done for us, He gave it His best. And He deserves the best from us. Now, some of you say, well, Brother Owens, I really struggle with this. Just work at it. Work at it. Improve. Don't take your eyes off of that goal. No, you won't change it overnight. Not at all. Guess what? There's a thing called salvation, and it is first class.
Amen.
Jesus started it and finished it, paid for it entirely. It's all about getting you saved. He took care of it all, and was He ever thorough? He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. Boy, that's first class. He died for you. He was buried for you and resurrected for you. Boy, that's first class. And He makes it available as a gift. Boy, that's first class. Salvation is available. If you're here and you died tonight, you're not sure you go to heaven. Salvation is available. A first class salvation. I believe God wants us to do what we do and give it our best. Everything that we do, I hope you will. Let's take this little challenge and make the best of it in our lives. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. If you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. If you're saved and you've never made that public, why don't you come tonight? If you've never been baptized, why don't you come? If you're looking for a church, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation and you would like to join us, we'll welcome you. A bunch of you, maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, help me to be first class in my work for you. I know He's been first class for us. Some of you need to develop some first class attitude. Somebody here owes somebody else an apology. Somebody needs to accept an apology. Let's treat people in a first class way. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir.